Now, did you know that alcohol is more harmful than heroin or crack? That's what a new study out of the UK has found after rating the harmfulness of 20 different drugs, ranking them based on how destructive they are to the individual who takes them and to society as a whole. The researchers analyzed how addictive a drug is, how it harms the human body, as well as criteria like environmental damage caused by it, its role in breaking up families, and its economic costs, like healthcare, social services, and prison. Now, out of 100 points, alcohol came up first with 72. Heroin and crack were both only in the mid-50s, and cannabis came in with just 20. Now, the study was led by David Nutt, the former drug advisor in the British government who was fired with the purpose of reopening discussion of the government's drug classification system. And it brings up an interesting question as to why drug policies in countries are dictated by politicians rather than by science. So could this study change the system? Well, earlier I caught up with Jacob Sullum, senior editor at Reason Magazine and Reason.com, and I first asked him how he thinks this study will bode for advocates of across-the-board decriminalization. Could it hurt or could it help?
Well, I hope it helps. My fear is that they may follow logic in the opposite direction, which is to say crack down on alcohol more. If it becomes clear to people that alcohol is in many respects more dangerous than the currently illegal drugs, they may start to be more receptive to policies that restrict access to alcohol, which I don't favor.
But do you think that there's any chance, I mean, even the authors of this study say that they're in no way advocating for a return to prohibition. They realize that you know, it's not realistic. Alcohol really is ingrained in our society these days. So you think policy-wise it might have that effect?
Well, I hope that the takeaway message is that alcohol has clear dangers. In many respects, it's more dangerous than illegal drugs. But we still, for the most part, manage to use it responsibly. That is to say, the vast majority of people who drink do so responsibly. It does not have any negative effect on their lives. It doesn't hurt other people. And at the same time, we know that there are some people who do abuse alcohol, and it does cause tremendous problems for them and for other people. So we need to make those same kinds of distinctions when it comes to illegal drugs. And I hope that by opening up the conversation to look at a wide range of substances and look at specific types of harm, because depending upon the thing you're concerned about, different drugs may rate differently. If you're worried about acute overdose, for example, alcohol is clearly much more of a hazard than something like marijuana. But when you see that completely prohibited drugs like marijuana, but even more so things like LSD and psilocybin mushrooms and MDMA, also known as ecstasy, when you see that these drugs do not come anywhere near alcohol in terms of the dangers that they pose, I would hope that causes people to second guess the to reconsider the arbitrary distinctions that are that underlie the current laws.
One of the things that I found very interesting is Leslie King, who's one of the co-authors of this study, also made the point, you know, to say that just because governments, you know, they decide whether something is illegal or legal, and most of the time it's not really based on science. So do you think that it should be based on science, or, you know, at the same time, if they're representing the people and their attitudes and their opinions, should they go on with what, you know, social norms are and how people view certain drugs?
Well, I would say it's virtually never based on science. It is very often based on prejudice. For example, the fact that that marijuana is a completely prohibited drug, whereas alcohol is tolerated, is completely an issue of culture and historical accident. It has nothing to do with the hazards actually posed by these substances. And no, I don't think that's good. I don't think you should, if the majority votes based upon pure prejudice and ignorance, basically, the majority should not rule, especially when it comes to dictating what other people may do with their own bodies. And while I think it's better if policy is scientifically informed, I don't think the government should be trying to do this at all. I don't think it should be trying to tell people what intoxicants they may consume, what substances they can put into their own bodies. It's better if they do that in a knowledgeable way than doing it in an ignorant way, but it's better if they don't do it at all.
Well, one of the things I also found interesting that you mentioned about this study is that, you know, in looking at these scores, the scores don't distinguish between the harms caused by drug use or those caused by prohibition. What do you think those causes are that are caused by prohibition?
Well, when you look at a substance like heroin, which is very similar pharmacologically to narcotics that people legally use for extended periods of time without any serious harm, it's clear that the vast majority of the harms that we associate with illicit heroin use are actually caused by prohibition. For example, prohibition makes the quality and the purity of heroin very hard to predict, so that people can accidentally overdose, or they may be hazardous additives that compound the health hazards. Because the price is so artificially high as a result of prohibition, people tend to inject, which carries all sorts of additional hazards, especially if they share needles, which can transmit disease, and that is also encouraged by controls on injection equipment as paraphernalia. So all these things sort of fit together, and of course, everyone who uses illegal drugs has to deal with a black market. They run the risk of arrest, they run the risk of violence, they run the risk of being ripped off, even at these artificially inflated prices, for which they have no redress because they're dealing with a product that's illegal.
So why would they leave all that out of the study? I mean, is there some kind of a political motive there?
I don't think so. I mean, I think these people would and in fact did acknowledge that it's important to distinguish between the harm caused by prohibition and the harm caused by drug use itself. But it's very difficult to disentangle those things. In other words, if you look at the mortality rate among heroin users, it's very hard to estimate what percentage of that is attributable to heroin itself and would be a problem even if heroin were legal, and what percentage of it is attributable to prohibition. I would argue that the vast majority of it is due to prohibition, but it's very hard to tell without repealing the laws and seeing what actually happens. We know from comparisons with legal use of similar substances that they don't pose anything like the hazards that are associated with illicit heroin. We know if you look at the market before when these drugs were banned, we also know that the people who use them aren't necessarily social outcasts as they are today. Typically, the typical users of drugs like opiates and cocaine before these drugs were banned were not part of the demi-monde. They were very often middle-class housewives, people who would be considered to be respectable. So a lot of the associations that we have with these illegal drugs are a product of prohibition too.
Well, it definitely will be interesting to see how the people respond to this. This is, of course, with